I wanted to mention that on Friday night, Friday evening, after Brother Dave and Sister Maria got back from that long trip, we'll put them to work, and they helped Kathy and I. We all painted my office back there Friday evening. Took a few hours, so I appreciate that. Appreciate y'all helping to do that. And then also, I want to thank Kathy for doing a new flower arrangement down here. I sometimes neglect to thank her for doing some of the things that she does. I just expect things and all, but I do appreciate it when anyone does anything like that through the kindness of their heart. I want to get one verse out of Job chapter 9. And it's the second verse there. It says, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God? Now, on the way to church this morning, Kathy asked me, well, are we going to be in the Old Testament again today? I have been for a while now, but I'm actually going to jump over to the New Testament and spend some time talking about justification this morning, Lord willing. But Job asked, how should man be just with God? It seems an impossibility, and of course, without God, it would be an impossibility that we would be righteous. Justification is simply the declaration of that righteousness. It's to declare that one is righteous. It's not a vital something that happens in life to us, but it's a result of other things that I'll get into. But really, as Brother Jeff was talking about, trying to walk on the straight and narrow path in life, and that we all have troubles in doing that. It's just called life. And sometimes I'll question why many times bad things happen to good people. But when we look at God and His sovereignty, and then His love, is that I know personally that I don't deserve all of the good that I receive in life. I'm so thankful for His mercy upon me and His love toward me. And one day, I believe that we'll all realize that in fullness when we are body, soul, and spirit, and we are in the presence of God Himself. So it's not so much that, well, why do bad things happen to me? Why did this happen to me? Woe is me. It's not that. It's why does anything good ever even happen to me, is the way I think. I won't include anyone else in that. But we're all sinners saved by grace, made righteous by the work of Jesus Christ. And there's where we get our righteousness. But Job asked that question. Now, let me go over to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, familiar verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's our starting point. I tend too many times start with how I think right now. I'm biased because I think I can say that I have the love of God within me, as you do. Through Jesus Christ, we have that love, and so we see things. I believe we're blessed to see things and see people, see occurrences through that love of God Almighty within us. But if we step back, where I began, where we all begin, is where Adam put us. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no righteousness within us at that point. that's the state that I began in. Whether it was whether I was given life, spiritual life, born again prior to my natural birth or not, whenever that was, I don't remember. I don't remember not loving God, not having that conscience, seeing things through the love that of God Himself given me in Jesus Christ. But that's where our starting point is, that there's none righteous, no, not one. None understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. That's where we are. So if my eternal salvation depended on me seeking after God, saying, okay, I believe in Jesus Christ, if that's where it began, well, then I would fail. It would not happen. It has to begin with God giving us life. And we are passive in that. I'm thankful because I would not have sought Him. So that's where we began it. But yet, how does one, God could not violate justice, His being righteous and just, and just saying, like a natural parent might say, okay, well, I surely should judge my child and what they've just done, punish them or whatever the case may be. But God couldn't just say, well, never mind then. Even though Adam transgressed His law in the garden of Eden, He couldn't just say, well, I'll just pass over that. There had to be a payment for that, and that's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and did that and agreed in all eternity that He would do that for all of those that God gave Him, all that God chose before the foundation of the world, of which none of us deserved that. None of us deserve what some people would word a chance to be saved, but God gave us that. And yet still I struggle, Jeff, with things in this life of trying to do what's right in this life, but knowing the whole time that if I don't, not if, but when I don't, when I stumble and fall, I'm still saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I can rest in that. I have that peace. And I had nothing to do with that. Now in Romans, the 5th chapter, just one page over in my Bible here, but before we get to justification, that declaration of righteousness, of being right with God, we have Romans chapter 5, let's just go to, verse 17 is beginning of a new paragraph, new thought here. 5:17 of Romans. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, that's speaking of Adam, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, of Adam, by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Condemnation, to be condemned of something, is the opposite of being justified. Justified is declare righteous, to be condemned is we're guilty. We're declared to be guilty in that. For by one man, the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The free gift came upon all men. Now, some could try to prove in that 18th verse that means that the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon every man in the family of Adam, every human being that ever lived. And that's not the case. We know that there is a subset of that. Although this innumerable host that will be in heaven, souls and spirit already there, many of them, is great and a great number that God saved through His love and mercy. So it's all that's being talked about here, all that God chose, and because this verse 18 must reconcile with the other verses in God's inspired Word. And you just can't justify reconcile every human being as being saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He came to save His people from their sins. And Matthew 1:21, so by one came the free gift. 4 and 19th verse, for as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. Let me just stop there. So one man's disobedience offset by the obedience of one. This was a legal act of Jesus Christ on the cross. And we say that a lot, our salvation was legally secured on the cross where Jesus Christ was crucified. There's another part to that, action in our lives. When that work, the blood of Christ, is applied to our heart, soul, and spirit, and that's vitally in our lives, applies that work, a finished work of Jesus Christ to us. Heading into justification, the declaration of that righteousness, if it were not for the imputation of our sins to Christ, all of our sins charged to His account is all that word means, imputation. Our sins were imputed to His account. That's to me the unfair part of the whole picture, is that Jesus Christ had to have our sins laid to His account, reckoned to Him, charged to His account, imputed to Him. And that being done, His righteousness at Calvary, on the cross, in the crucifixion, His righteousness, that's where our righteousness comes from. We're given His righteousness by imputation. So that's all that is. Now, justification comes after that, the declaration of that righteousness. So without the imputation of His righteousness to us, we could not be declared righteous. We could not be declared just and right. So justification is dependent upon our salvation legally on the cross. Now, in the third chapter again of this book here of Romans, a little bit further along. Chapter 3, Romans, and reiterating, really supporting what I already declared, none righteous, no, not one. 23rd verse says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is, in fact, the definition of sin is to miss the mark. We miss that mark completely. We've come short of the glory of God. And so there had to be a sacrifice, a payment for that. And so Jesus Christ was that legal payment. He redeemed us. Now, starting into this subject of justification, now based on imputation, based on our sins being put away on the cross and us being given the righteousness of God Almighty, of Jesus Christ there. Here, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24th verse says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So again, justified, this is not talking about being made just and right and righteous. It's the declaration of that, of our being made righteous through Jesus Christ, but justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're justified by the blood of Christ because we're declared righteous through the blood of Christ because this says through the redemption. Our redemption took place by the blood. We're cleansed. We are saved. Our sins are washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not with corruptible things as such as silver and gold. So we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That is a legal declaration of our righteousness. That's what took place on the cross, in the crucifixion, is our legal declaration of righteousness there. And it's by the blood of Christ we would not be declared righteous and would not have that were it not for Jesus Christ. And yet sometime after that point, after our natural conception, then that's applied to us. Our justification by faith and works, as I'll get into, cannot take place until after the legal justification is applied to us that Jesus Christ performed on the cross. And that comes in a regeneration, being born again. And then we have the unction, we have that desire to serve Him in our lives. And yet none of that serving Him, none of the discipleship that may take place in Brother Paul coming out and helping with these people's flat tire and us taking food to food shelters and so forth. None of that has anything to do, certainly, with our eternal salvation. Has nothing to do with the imputation of our sins being placed upon Jesus or His righteousness to us. But it's a result of that. When I fall back on the fact that is secure, my salvation is secure in Jesus Christ. With that being done, then, if I fail to serve Jesus Christ, if I deny Him as Peter did, if I don't declare His righteousness in my life to show those around me that in fact I have been born again, that exuding that fruit of the Spirit, then I know that I'm still secure, so I fall down on that. So if I thought, as many do, that I needed to establish my own righteousness, that eternally I will not enter into heaven if I don't do these things, then I feel certain that I would do them more regularly and more diligently. But knowing what we know, that Jesus Christ gave us those things legally there at Calvary, then sometimes I fail at that. But that's where, as Brother Jeff talked about, it helps one another of us to share the things that we're struggling with. And I have a problem with that. I don't share. I want to just fix things myself, keep it to myself, get past it and all. But we need to. If we're depressed, we need to tell one another. And this church, as many others, are good in requesting prayers for these things. It doesn't matter how minor and trivial we may think they are. It helps us to bear one another's burdens in our lives. So we are redeemed by the blood of Christ, and we're justified in the court. This is a legal term, justification. Declared righteous, declared just, and so that is done on the cross. Now, let me go into the fourth chapter here of Romans, toward the end of that chapter, into the fifth. After you read about Abraham there, and speaking of Abraham, the 23rd verse of the fourth chapter says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but all for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." When in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, He was raised again to declare our righteousness. We have that declaration. The work already having been done. The work has been done and finished. Jesus Christ said it Himself when He said, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost, but raised again for our justification. Therefore, fifth chapter, first verse is, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So there's just, and when I,
being younger, I would hear the doctrine of justification. And I would try to pin everything, the justification meaning just one neat and tidy thing, justification by grace through the redemption, but we have justification by faith. That certainly has to take place after Jesus Christ has legally declared our righteousness, well, after he has having obtained eternal redemption for us there on the cross. Justification by faith, I believe, is one of the hardest things in our lives, that is the reconciliation, the peace that we have in really admitting or confessing that Jesus Christ did secure our salvation in completeness and totality on the cross, that there is nothing left for me to do in that. That's a hard thing. Number one, my human nature wants to have a part in anything good. If something gets done and it's good, I love the praise in it, whether it's something physical or mental or helping someone emotionally. Human nature wants praise in that, and I want to have a part of that. But do I want to have a part in the negative part of that? If in fact I fail in life, I don't want that guilt placed upon me, but to be reconciled that Jesus Christ completely did that. That's hard for us to reconcile. But when we do, and God blesses many of us, I know many in my family and close friends and all that cannot seem, they can't let go. They say, yeah, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm saved by grace. It's the gift of God. But I still have to do just this little bit to secure that. Number one, it doesn't reconcile with God's word, but God has to bless those to reconcile that. We have to be blessed being justified by faith. We have peace with God. Whatever else is happening in our lives, if I'm struggling financially, emotionally, with an addiction, whatever it is, then I fall back. I stand on the peace that I have, that God has saved me through Jesus Christ, and that no matter how bad things get in my life, and I've been blessed in my life. Don't get me wrong. I've been so blessed and had it so easy in my life. But we have inner peace, and justification by faith has nothing to do with, well, it all builds on, as I built up to this point. You can't have that had Jesus Christ not declared us in justification legally on the cross through his blood, but had he not taken our sins upon him and given us his righteousness. It all leads up to that, but we cannot have this peace if we don't believe that he did that completely, reconcile our minds with our hearts and our souls, that he performed and completed that work. It's a difficult thing, but we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But all of the massive billions and billions of people, of souls and spirits that God has saved, applied that life to in our lives, even today, that may not be reconciled to this. They may not have peace. If I could not stop and remember for a moment that Jesus Christ saved me eternally, I wouldn't have that inner peace. And that's a reckoning. That's a charging to my account spiritually within myself, that salvation. It's a courtroom. That's with it between me and God. You have your own justification by faith. You have addressed that. God has blessed you to reconcile that. And I believe in speaking to you, I believe you have done that. So that's between you and God. If I can't completely let go of me having a part in that, does that have any effect on me being in heaven, being saved by Jesus Christ? No, none effect whatsoever. But yet I don't have this peace. If I don't believe that Jesus is the Christ, if I cannot confess that, then does that negate and nullify the work of Jesus Christ on the cross? No, no, that was done. Thanks be to God. One day I won't have to reconcile that. We live by faith now, and that's the evidence that we have. One day we will be a part of that when the redemption of these bodies, when our soul and spirits are reunited with Him, with our bodies, and we're wafted on to heaven. But now we're justified by faith that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we have access to that, it seems like where I maybe didn't think I needed that access as greatly in my younger years, but I feel that this access to that grace and into that directly into that peace that we have, being justified by faith, then I draw upon that so much more today. We talk about those that are mourning and grieving the loss of their husbands or wives or their children, whatever things they're going through, and that we strive and want to lay hold upon that peace that we have, and we are to bear one another's burdens. In that, even now, this realization of that righteousness is justification by faith. It's a declaration of our righteousness within ourselves. Now, in James the second chapter, I believe it is James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and this really comes into what we need to be about in our lives, having been saved eternally by Jesus Christ, having been justified by faith, having that peace then. We could sit down and then just do simply nothing, and all of that would still be there. But there are works. Where we get in trouble is when we try to hinge justification by works on something eternal. And it's here. Our works justify us in the courtroom of the public. If I don't act on the faith that I've been given, and that peace there, and don't serve my brothers and sisters, and don't follow Jesus Christ, that's again, I'll repeat again, it has nothing to do. That will not negate the work of Jesus Christ. But that justification by works is the legal declaration of my being righteous in public. And again, this can't happen until we have justification by faith. We've been able to release the desire or the urge or the belief that I must do these things to save myself eternally. I don't have to. Here in James, the 24th verse, let me just grab that. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Now, if I hadn't read you that where we're justified by grace through the redemption of Jesus Christ, justified by the blood of Christ, then this very verse 24, I'd say, well, I need to perform works to be justified in the sight of God. No, Jesus Christ did that on the cross. He did that legally. And now we're justified by works, not by faith only. Being justified by faith, then, I think the same thoughts. It's amazing how Brother Jeff, so oftentimes, words exactly what I've thought. The things back in whether it was my teens or 20s, the blessings that I might have missed out on not doing this. I felt even in my younger years, in my younger life, I felt that I knew that I had faith within me, the evidence, and I knew what I should be doing. I saw the blessings of God, but how many times did I forego the blessings of God in my life because I did not extend my faith into my works? Because I had heard all of my life that eternally that didn't need to be done, and that so many terms and phrases and actions in the lives of primitive Baptists have been misconstrued or abused. We were so afraid of I think of the term revival. I don't want to have a big revival to then save people by eternally by preaching the gospel. We know that's not true, but I need a revival. I need it, and we come to God's house for that. There are so many other things that we forego in works, extending that faith into our works. But we have to continually rightly divide the word of truth. We need to follow Jesus Christ in discipleship as He would have us do. Works by a man, ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. So now let me try to wrap this up. I want to go to Galatians, the fifth chapter of Galatians, and get a couple of verses here. That chapter begins, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with a yoke of bondage." There was a specific issue here dealing with circumcision, just part of the law service here that they were trying to convince these early Christians. You had to be circumcised to be saved. And he's telling them, stand in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, past tense, it's been done, and not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It says, "For I testify again to every man that it's circumcised, that he is a debtor to the whole law, not just part of it." If I think, I was saved by Jesus Christ, I was redeemed by His blood, but yet I believe somehow I have calculated that God had to give me just a little spark of life, just enough to be able to accept Jesus as my Savior in order to be saved eternally, then I need to be a debtor to the whole law. I need to then establish my entire righteousness. Well, then I myself, I don't have any part of that then, because I'll fail. I know I will. Jesus Christ was the only acceptable sacrifice that God would accept. So it says, "Then Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you who are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace." We will never fall from grace eternally. There's one of the phrases that has been abused of that falling from grace eternally from God. If you do such and such, then you'll fall from grace of God. That doesn't. But yet here it's scriptural. You are fallen from grace if you do these things, entangle yourselves. If I don't reconcile myself, then here in time, I won't have that peace that Jesus Christ saved me. If Christ is become of no effect unto you, not His work, not His salvation, not His legal work, then of justification on the cross, not that. He will always be of an effect to us. His work was effectual. And yet, in my life here, He will become of no effect, and you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. So he admonishes us. He tells us, stand fast in the liberty, in that freedom wherewith Christ has made you free in our lives. And that's where we're to stand. But yet, we don't want to diminished. James emphasized good works, and so we should emphasize that. But as an extension of our faith, as a work of our faith, based on the justification on Calvary and on the cross, based on the imputation of our sins to Jesus Christ and His righteousness to us, it all goes back to Jesus Christ. It all goes to Him, and yet this justification, we have been in so many ways legally declared righteous, but through the blood, precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so He is forgiving. He's merciful to me. Every day I see His mercies. I'll start begin to pray in privacy, in myself, in my heart, in my mind, and I first thank Him for the many blessings He's given me, and immediately I like to go to His mercies, which certainly is a blessing, but His mercies upon me, because then I start going back and looking at all the mercies, the things that I truly deserved in punishment, even just in this life. And I see His mercies day by day, and I thank Him for that. At this point, I never had the thought to stop and pray that He would have mercy upon me, that I might not lose my eternal home in heaven. That's preserved in Christ Jesus. I will have that. He has given all of us eternal life. He's given that to us. We have that, and now we can stand fast in that. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer.